Ahora luchamos por una mejor sanidad, seguridad y educación.
Nosotros somos los gatos.
Auch nach Auflösung der Demonstration gehen die Krawalle weiter.
Se viven días decisivos en el caso Bombas.
Frequenz.
Frequenz. Frequenz. Frequenz.
All right. Chaos, chaos, chaos. We are transmitting live from Saint-Imier, the international gathering.
Anti-authoritarian.
Yeah, you are. So we hope you can listen us also in Leipzig, and we are transmitting from Radio Plau as well, FM. It's everything a little bit chaotic. Our guests arrived, and there's also some surprise guests from Colombia. They arrived last minute, and the plan is more or less to have like a little conversation about the impressions we had so far here at the gathering, and maybe some spontaneous news our guests want to share with the audience, and then we gonna talk a little bit about the how things developed in Chile after the revolt, and maybe also now that we have the comrades from Colombia here, also about their experience, how the things developed. There was also a revolt not that long time ago, and maybe there are some similar things, maybe there are some differences. We will see. We have more or less 1 hour. In the end of the show, we will announce some events that will will take place in some time, not that and there is the opportunity, as we have maybe 2 hours today in Leipzig, you cannot listen to it, but if you go into internet and check the link from the anti-authoritarian international gathering.
I think it's just anarchy2023.org.
You should find the link there, and then we will probably go on with some guests from Belarus and Russia. We hope so.
Yeah. Maybe we should describe a little bit what's where we are for people in Leipzig listening. We are in Saint-Imier in Switzerland, in a valley surrounded by a forest and overcrowded by anarchists from all over the world. It's like a really huge international meeting. I don't know how many people arrived. I think that was expected like 5,000 for this weekend. For the weekend, everything is full. Infrastructure is coming to its end, but all is somehow functioning, and it's like really many facilities. The whole city is used, and there are like 12 events parallel going on all the time. So we will not manage to like really cover what exactly is going on, and everybody had the only chance to see a little piece. Yeah.
So I would propose that we listen to some music, and then we can maybe clarify a little bit with our guests how we will go on together. And check it out. It's like it's Tribade together with Falsa Alarma, and we will be back in some minutes.
Checks makes connect. Rob checks makes connect.
Desde chica sabía que tú eras pa' mí. Todo el día en clase con los cacos escribiendo machine. Pilla la necio en el kiosco y quemar el CD. Ahora comparto con los clases, ¿quién me le iba a decir? Homie, esto pa' la gente que lo vive puro. Pa' el que se come estas barras de desayuno, ey. Sabes, no habrá segundo round si lo hago duro. Tira la blanca, empiezan a ver lo oscuro. Para mi fan, cerca o lejos, pero siempre están. Una de pisto, manchego y una cruz en el pan. Say what? Los que estuvieron saben de qué va la peli. Un besito a la mamá antes de salir del Kelly. Yes, yes, ya estamos en el ojo del huracán. Saben que suena gordo y nunca lo titan. Shout out para los valientes que lo asumen y lo hacen público. Para los que no molesten, chicos.
Estoy envejeciendo como el puto Brad Pitt. Entrando así como si nada con esta real shit. Chutando lejos de aquí. Si viene así sin que se note, guardo aquí este misil. Pa' dar de sí dilataciones, quedan pocas opciones aquí. No siempre lo mejor es lo que está por venir. Prefiero prevenir. Mi forma de vivir no es tuya. No soy de aquellos que se suman cuando ya todo fluya. Tengo mi propio concepto de las alturas. Siempre colgando de un globo loco, no harás que esto suba. Subo probando nuevas estructuras. Soltando barras que se enlazan, creando esculturas. Y si me apuras, aún te digo que esto lo hago por mí. Ni por fama, ni por plata, ni por ti, que no te quepa duda. Somos la voz que dio palabra a una cultura enmudecida por una sociedad post-dictadura.
Que suena hip hop si me lo propongo, tonto. Le bailo otro tango al hardcore, tumbo el podio. Nunca fue por Dongo Jambo. Venga, dale comba, ponte una de boom bap, compa. De saque al alma me apunta, que me parte y rompa. Que somos urban con base 90. Que lo asuman con mensaje de años 30 que retumba. Lo grito al micro hasta que Dad me ronca. Pura rumba tronca, un amor pa' las que luchan. Flores pa' su tumba. Lupéame este instante, Marky. Like a dream team, que estoy con tres de los grandes. Real OG, que lo guay. Un respeto pa' mi ciudad, Golf y Chains. La tierra en el infierno como Mutipa. Solo mis principios serán mi final y ya está. Yo sé que las buenas somos mayoría exacta. En la plaza dando palmas hasta que llega la pasma y levanta el acta. Aquí no se canta más ya.
Yo. Estás llegando tarde si aún no sabes el qué. Nada que me ate al arcén. Siento el respeto y lo pienso devolver. Ponerme fechas un error, gastar tu flecha también. Lo que no consiga el amor lo intentará la estupidez del ser. Así que relájate y baja el arma. Nadie va a levantarme de aquí. Rosa Parks, Alabama. Tristeza y rabia, el primero de Nirvana. Aquí huele a Napalm ya por la mañana. Yo, fuck drama, no me hace falta cerrar bocas. Sé quién lo goza, no pienso dejarte a medias. Recién de Mozart, sé bien la historia. Solo uno de cada 100 lo logra. Tú dale libertad al que crea y obtendrás droga. Toca, esto es real, sopla. Si eso parpadea por el bien de tus córneas. Yo aprendí mucho más escuchando que visionando. Lo visto y quizá no recuerde tu cara, pero sí lo que has dicho. Tribade.
Falsa alarma.
So, back in the so-called studio again, maybe to describe a little bit to our listeners, we are in the middle of some exhibition place. It's the, like the art exhibition from the village here, and there's a lot of people around, and also like paintings and stuff, and here we are, and maybe we forgot a little bit that maybe our guests can briefly introduce themselves to the audience.
Hi everyone who is listening. I am a part of the Anarchist Assembly from Valparaíso. We are really glad to be here sharing with all in this table, a little crowd like Manu said before, but we are really glad to be here. It's been a long trip. But a lot of good comrades has been in this trip, so that's really it's really full our hearts, our Latin hearts. So thank you for the invite here. And now I'm going to pass to our other comrades from Colombia.
Hola, ¿cómo están? mi nombre es Jonathan y vengo con mi compañera Paola. Somos parte de la revista Diógenes, una nueva propuesta de información. Estamos aquí compartiendo nuestra revista y estamos contentos de compartir con ustedes.
Translation.
I'm gonna do the translate. Here is Jonathan and Paola. They are part of a magazine called Diógenes. There is a new proposal of information, and they are really glad to be here presenting this magazine. So.
Bueno, sí, hola, buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Paola y pues como lo dijo mi compañero anteriormente, hacemos parte del proyecto de la revista Diógenes, una colaboración entre Colombia y Alemania. Y bueno, también estamos bastante felices de estar aquí.
Like my comrade said before, we're really glad to be here. And this magazine also, it's a cooperation between Colombia and German. So it has both the best of both sides, for saying in a way. So that.
Okay, maybe what we thought how to start. Usually our program look like we always share some news which touch us, shock us, or maybe also inspire us. And yeah, if there's anything you would like to share with the audience.
Talking from the territory of Chile, and we have a news, but maybe it's not so like the last minute news. It's it has been for a few weeks, maybe months ago. And it's the approbation of a new law that enforced the police. After the revolt, that was in 2019, the police was really a bad image from the society. They were in a moment asking for the dissolution of police. And from that really inspired moment of society to not want more police, we are now, I think, 3-4 years later of the revolt. And now we have a new law in this social fake social democracy government, where the law is called Nain Retamal, and they give to the police a lot of new
rights.
New rights that now they can shoot, and just when and after shoot, if there is somebody hurt and they go to try, they just has to say, okay, that person it was to me with the intention to attack me, so I shoot. And
like with normal bullets, you mean? Like normal bullets to use?
Yeah, normal bullets. So to us, it's like an easy trigger law that allow and force the police to have more and more capacity to the repression. And this is goes to the hands some other news that also maybe they are not the happiest news, but
one question according to this, is it, have they to wear any weapon like a knife or something, or can it is just if they walk in direction of the police officer, it's enough or what?
I don't know all the details like really close, but I know that it's only has to be something maybe in a context of demonstration, but if you are running to the police, they already can use her weapon, you know? You don't need to have a weapon in your hand. You can be shot just being with your body running into the police or something. An act that the police can interpret it like you want to harm or something like that. And the second thing that I want to say, that is part of one feeling that we are talking about after this revolt and all the process that come after that. And there is that there was a lot of people with eye trauma during the revolt. A lot of people lose his eyes. And a few weeks, maybe 3 weeks ago, we knew about the fourth case of one of people who has eye trauma and commits suicide. And this talk about this frustration that a lot of people who believe in the revolt and all the process that comes after that, it's now, it feels like it was not getting to any place. It's not really a really sad news, but also we want to talk this because also we have from the Anarchist Assembly we have this proposal also to maybe take a change in this perspective of the anything has changed, because we don't see it so much like that.
Quisiéramos compartir un par de impresiones luego del estallido social, un evento que ha marcado la historia de nuestro país en los últimos años, y recuperar un poco la memoria de las personas que murieron durante el estallido. Actualmente en Colombia se está produciendo un cambio bien importante, que luego del asesinato de estas personas y de una inmensa cantidad de movilizaciones, se apaciguó con la llegada del presidente Gustavo Petro.
So we want to talk about after this estallido social, I don't know the word.
The revolt.
The uprising in Colombia that was part of the history of the country. We want to rescate the memory of the people who was dead during this revolt. And also about this biggest change with the new government of Petro.
Luego de que se presenta este estallido social, se impulsa la campaña de Gustavo Petro bajo las banderas del desmonte del ESMAD, que es como el cuerpo militar que atendía las manifestaciones en el territorio colombiano. Y bajo estas banderas y el presidente Petro sube al poder, pero en la actualidad lamentablemente no se ha desmontado este cuerpo policial, y este cuerpo policial lo único que ha hecho es cambiar de color, cambiar de nombre, pero hoy día siguen muriendo personas. El gobierno sigue utilizando este aparato policivo para reprimir a los ciudadanos y a los habitantes de nuestro país.
So after the revolt, the electoral campaign of Petro was rising with the promise to dismantle this ESMAD, that is the part of the group of repression, the army repression. And with this promising campaign, he goes and has he win the election. But now when he is in the power, he doesn't dismantle it. He only do a reform, changing the color and the name. But the police is still being the same, still being smart, just with a new name.
With a new shirt.
Maybe Manu can help me a little bit.
I will. Right.
Try. No sé si me queda algo. Yes.
Y bueno, para finalizar, las banderas de cambio con las que sube el presidente Petro las estamos poniendo en duda, porque lo único que ocasionó fue que el movimiento social se desintegrara y que igual el gobierno ejerciera políticas distintas con la población, pero que los cambios reales no se efectuaran.
So we are putting this promise like in doubt, because with this promise also it was a big hit to the social movement and start to dismantle the social movement, because a lot of people start to believe in this promise. So
So they stopped to protest or to organize themselves, and like were, the new government could use this situation to get in charge, and it seems that until now they didn't change so much, or there is also not that many people really believing in this change, but it worked quite well, their campaign. As I understood.
Yes, I just want to add that what the Colombian comrade said is really not so particular, because in Latin America there was a lot of revolt between 2018 until now, and all the governments, when they have election, they are doing this. They try to cooptate this demand, or this, I don't know, demand from the social movement, from the people, to get a good campaign with a false promise. In Chile, now we have Boric, that he says that he has the feminist state, the what is a, sorry, but it's a big, big, big lie. And also he has a lot of promise that it was some demanding from the revolt in 2019. So also they use this recipe to pick up some demands and try to get a big campaign to get the election.
I mean, I think it's a quite common strategy from parties all over the world. I mean, in Germany, for example, the Green Party tried also. They get a lot of votes because they promise that they will really do something about against climate change and so on. Yeah, it's like this question. Yesterday I was like a witness of a like really good and deep conversation, and one comrade from Argentine, she said, like, when everybody was like telling about their fears and stuff because of all these developments, she said, you know, the key is that we have to reflect on what we are doing. I mean, the society is going to the right, and everything, like, there's a lot of refugees dying and so on, and it's unbelievable that people in society that fought for their rights, for example, the right to abort, like if you are pregnant and you didn't want it, or something in Spain, or like other women's rights, and there's the fear that Vox will take everything back, and they just cannot believe it. Yeah, and it's totally understandable, but she said, like, maybe we should really focus in reflecting what we are doing, apart, like, only, like, think about, okay, it's horrible, what, and get in this paralyzed position. So.
I just wanted to ask Paola if Paola has also some news to share, something which, I don't know, which is maybe very new, or maybe last for a while, which you think that people maybe also don't know, people in Europe don't know, from Colombia or the region. Now the translation will happen, or?
Si tenemos alguna noticia reciente sobre el territorio, no necesariamente sobre Colombia o Chile, pero algo bien reciente que tal vez en este territorio parezca interesante. Yo puedo partir con el video de Jujuy.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know. I think maybe in this territory we already heard that in Jujuy, Argentina, there is in Argentina they have this like federated state, so every state can decide some things. And in Jujuy, to the extraction of lithium,
mm-hmm.
I think it said, okay, lithium, that is the new material that is gonna be extracted from all Latin America. So in Jujuy, they were asking if they want to install there like a big plant to extract lithium, and the indigenous movement there, it says, okay, we don't want, and they do, I think, a referendum. So they decide they doesn't want this. But the state and also does respect this decision and start this
mining.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And there is a big uprising in Jujuy because it was like, I don't know if the first fifth time, but it's not common that doesn't respect a decision from a territory in that part. And I think this battle for the lithium and the extract of to the territory of Latin America, the lithium is something that is coming. It's not so new, the extract of primary matter. I don't know if that is the right word. Mm-hmm. But the lithium, I think, is this new material that it's going to be a really hard struggle that we have to give. And I think it's important that because all that they extract in Latin America comes to Europe or to the global north, it's important, I think, to get this contact and this conversation in both territories so we can have like this struggle together. You know, maybe in this territory the struggle has to be with different practice, but it's the same struggle, you know.
Yeah, then it all ends in Africa somewhere when like all the technique is old. It's sent there to lay around in piles. Yeah.
Bueno, la pregunta era especialmente a Paula, si igual quiere compartir alguna noticia. Sí. De la Tania, solo era la traducción, sí.
Bueno, pues sí, sí. Pues yo creo que como se compartió hace ya unos cuantos años al mundo, Colombia firma el acuerdo de paz en el 2016 y crea una institución que se llama la Jurisdicción Especial para la Paz, que busca abrir el espacio para que muchas personas que vivieron el conflicto puedan, pues digamos que contar, ¿no? Está también la Comisión de la Verdad, venir a contar como su experiencia del conflicto. Hace algunas semanas sale el paramilitar Salvatore Mancuso, acogido bajo la Comisión de la Verdad, contando su versión del conflicto. Digamos que botando al agua a un montón de personas, a un montón de personas que lo financiaron su defensa. Entre ellas están muchas de las empresas colombianas que hacen parte de los grandes empresarios colombianos. Y también encontramos la Drummond, también encontramos la Chiquita Brands, empresa bananera. Entonces creo que esta es una noticia que es bastante determinante, reciente, y que debería conocerse a nivel mundial, que no quedara de manera local.
You have to put both, Manu.
I try to help you.
Okay, and so maybe already know, but some years ago it was the sign of Jurisdicción para la Paz, a jurisdiction to peace, and with this jurisdiction it creates the truth, ¿verdad? The Commission for Truth, and a few weeks ago, yes, a few weeks ago, to this Commission of Truth has to has the testimony? No.
It's
declaration.
On the law?
No, the declaration of the declaration of Salvatore Mancuso. He is a paramilitar leader.
Yeah, I think this institution, I don't know if people know about it. I think it's made for like bringing peace to society, yes. to work or to heal the wounds of this like really bloody conflict going on since a long time. And yeah, it's like in other places of the world they try it as well, like that people confess or the things they did to like bring the possibility or give the possibility that people can, I don't know, forgive or yeah, whatever, to heal, that, like a healing process of society or something.
Yeah, and the most important of this declaration is that he give a lot of names of big company and a lot of politicians also. So with this, something that maybe all the people know, but it was not like official. Now it's official that the paramilitary groups has a connection between politics and between also big company. Maybe you can give me the names. Chiquita Brands and Drummond, two big companies. So with this, it's official that this bond and relationship between the paramilitary groups and the companies and the political in the territory of Colombia.
And these companies, they origin from where?
Chiquita Brand is from United States, and Drummond is from Canada.
They were, do you know if they were like basically financing it, or if they also, or did he also tell something about that they gave them kind of orders how they should act or whatever?
Era financiamiento, también había como órdenes de cómo actuar.
Sí, las dos. Sí, efectivamente, las dos. Digamos que dependía mucho de quienes estaban de alguna manera obstruyendo el trabajo de las compañías. Así que las compañías utilizaban estas autodefensas, hacían acuerdos con estas autodefensas para mantener digamos que al borde a estos líderes o a estos trabajadores. Y bueno, sí, lo financiaban con dinero y también daban las órdenes en el momento en el que un trabajador o un líder social fuese molesto.
They were both. They put the money, but also they give the order when it was necessary. They were attacking a specific social movement leader and or workers also. So when somebody, it was, for saying in a way, too annoying or trespassing some limits with the finance, no, with the money they give, they have this like power to also order that they have to be in his place again using the paramilitary force.
¿Tú querías compartir algo más?
Sí, simplemente quería agregar que también empresarios colombianos de las grandes, digamos, grandes empresarios como Ardila Lule o Sarmiento Angulo, poseen empresas también colombianas que despojaban a los indígenas de sus tierras y sembraban allí caña de azúcar para sus productos. Y estos empresarios se aliaban con estos paramilitares como Salvatore Mancuso, y con listas en mano buscaban a los líderes que se oponían al despojo de sus tierras y trataban de desarticular el movimiento campesino, indígena o obrero que surgía en esos lugares.
Yes, just to add that also they were involved some Colombian big empresaries, empresarios,
fabrics or like
entrepreneur, yeah, I don't know,
big
yeah.
Entrepreneur. They also have this bond with the paramilitary groups, and they were using to move the from the indigenous territory to the indigenous and to put caña, to get plant of caña.
Planted like sugar,
yes.
Plants.
Sugar plants. Yes.
I don't know. I don't.
Yeah, for the canned sugar,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes. So, and the same structure that we already said, they pick up the leader of the indigenous group, and they were being attacked directly and being amenazados.
Yeah, they were like threatened. And like they gave whole lists to these paramilitary groups that to get rid of them, and yeah.
From threats to the death.
Yeah,
it is anyway like friends of mine doing a worldwide monitoring of repressions against environmental activists or also like indigenous environmental activists, and this is like one of the most repressed people, and the biggest amount of killing at those who are, especially in Latin America, trying to protect the territories from extraction and big whatever industry.
So maybe we could play another music and afterwards share like impressions from the gathering here in Saint-Imier. Yeah, we will listen to a track from La Lira Libertaria, Nuestros Muertos.
Thank you. veces que han arrancado de nuestra tribu un gran pedazo. No son solo cuerpos desparramados, entre el pecho y la espalda vaga impenitente vuestra mirada. En nosotros sigue la cólera, en nuestra visera desatada. Nuestro juego tribal es el mismo que brilla en los ojos de nuestros niños. Todo sigue aunque nos duela, siempre hay semillas en mi tribu. Podrán decir con certeza que han sacado de la existencia al que no quiso ser servidumbre, que se enamoró de la revuelta. Mas nunca podrán hablar de la alegría contracorriente, y ya han intentado matarnos más de 8 o 9 veces. No son raíces teñidas de sangre, son invisible pecho del cielo, un piquete que apunta con furia, son ráfagas de viento negro.
Siguen en la chispa de la pólvora y también en la lengua del fuego. En la chispa de la pólvora y también en la flor y el trueno. Pólvora, también fuego. En la chispa de la pólvora también.
Hicieron nuestra línea, pero la maleza siguió naciendo. Intentaron volar los sesos, pero el cora siguió latiendo. Aunque traten de extirpar, nuestra rabia siempre crecerá. Seremos la plaga quemando en ciudad, seremos indomable a toda autoridad. Trataron matar un árbol contra un bosque, nunca podrán. Somos todos los que se fueron, somos todos los que vendrán. Somos parte de cada manada, poniendo la vida en la guerra social. Porque muchos de mis hermanos hoy abrazan la libertad. Por ti, por mí, por todos los nuestros, la idea no muere en el fuego creciendo. Siempre violento contra todo esto, hermosamente rabia manifiesto. Habrá muerto en esto, pero están en medio con mechas ardiendo y la peste pasando en cada lugar. Como risas de niños sin miedo a jugar, libre caminar. Así que viva y activa, nadie ni nadie olvida acá. No nos podrán borrar, no nos podrán quitar. Los gritos de nuestros cuerpos, la muerte, la cárcel no podrán callar.
Ahora están fundidos con la tierra, con la atmósfera.
Right, back in the on at the desk in Saint-Imier, the anti-authoritarian international gathering in Switzerland. We will go on with the little exchange with our guests about our and their experience from the gathering so far. And we were talking beforehand. We will. broadcast the truth, or the not the truth, I mean our subjective
critic impressions. Is okay,
yeah, but we, yeah
Well, what we can say to start,
from 0 to 10.
Yes, I mean, I think the most important thing is it's a gathering, it's a convention, it's a festival. I don't know. I start from there to talk about this, because our perception of a gathering in Chile, at least, because that is my before experience, is a lot different. I think the material context is really important in this, because they are really, really more small. But also they are some things that when we start to see how is everything organized, that we are really criticized in a way, like, I don't know, we have like 48 concerts, and I think that is a really big expensive of energy, and it's okay. But also when we go to a presentation, I think every presentation that I went these days, this not enough room. So I think why we have 48 concerts, a lot of energy and money and that, and why we don't have bigger space to the presentation, you know, because this is a political gathering. And we need to have better space to the people doesn't get stressed about the heat, because I don't know, it's better to have a really good discuss in a place that is comfortable, and not just being putting all the energy, I don't know, in some things that to us coming from Latin America, it's really, really, really looks like a festival. So that is our impression. There are 4,000 people, I think, and I don't know. For now, I'm just gonna say that.
Bueno, yo quisiera mencionar que el evento por sí mismo tiene una importancia para encontrarse con personas de todo el mundo, y esto es muy valioso porque hemos encontrado mucha gente de Colombia, de Chile, de México, que están tejiendo cosas cada uno por sus lados, pero que pueden unir fuerzas, y que en este evento se pueden tejer esas redes y unir fuerzas para esta lucha que es internacionalista, ¿no?
It said like that the meeting itself has like a big value, because it enables people to meet, or a lot of people can meet there from different parts of the all over the world, and they met a lot of people from all over Latin America as well. And so it's giving the opportunity to unite like struggles and forces and bring people together, and that's from his view, it's like a really good thing.
Do you want to add some more point or Paula?
Sí, por supuesto. Bueno, sí, yo creo que encuentro el espacio bastante provechoso, porque nos encontramos muchísimas, hay una variedad de mentes, de ideas, de visiones, de lecturas del mundo, y eso me parece interesante. Sin embargo, desde mi punto de vista, siento que falta organización respecto a los recursos que necesitan las personas para poder realizar sus charlas. No sé, de pronto tener marcadores, de pronto tener papel, de pronto contar con ese proyector, pues sí me parece que esos recursos son importantes, teniendo en cuenta que es un espacio de aprendizaje.
I think she is sharing the opinion about these spaces where people meet, but the critique is that from her experience, there was a lack of materials for a lot of workshops, and so on, and that's things, basic things that we're missing, like pens or and not enough rooms, and also projector or stuff. So this facilitation of the people that want to share their opinions and their experiences in workshops didn't work out so good many times. So, but it's a place where things can be learned, and it's a work in progress, or it's like it's things that can be developed.
Yes, and just to add and not be so negative, but we really, it's glad to see also how the volunteers are organizing, like the kitchen, you know, to make food for 4,000 people is not an easy work or tarea. Yes,
yeah,
it's not an easy things to do, and that is also really beautiful thing to see, like everybody washing dishes and everybody making food, and that are also good experience, you know, be part of that in that way. Also, it's good to see it, you know, but we have both sides of perspective.
Yeah,
I think I would add that there's like a really high presence of LGBTQ content topics, and also people like queer the queer movement seems to be like really big presence, and I think 12 years ago I suppose that wasn't the case. And yeah, you can see some developments in like the anarchist movement. I don't know if you can call it movement, but it's like, yeah, there's a high diversity, and I mean, people can just have a look at the program. It's like overwhelming. It's not for me, it's also, you always have the feeling you are missing three important things you want to go to, and maybe if you made the way to some location, then you discover that the person that wants to present is not there, and then you have to say, oh no, now I missed the, like three other things. And yeah.
Yeah, I was not expecting too much, maybe. Or like, I was coming with a kind of a mode ready to fight, and I think it's like, it's impressive, the, of course, the all facilities which are anyway involved, and that it's possible to kind of use the whole city. Yeah, also sometimes question like choose rooms where you think that this is a really like big topic, and it's so often that it's like super overcrowded. And anyway, it's now the weekend itself, it's really overcrowded in general. As I said, I was ready to fight, and it is also showing that nearly, like, I'm collecting now stories around about, like, where the clashes are coming. And they are coming in the very, very kind of safe topics where you think nothing will happen, and then you look the watch the movie about Rota Zora, and there are some corona deniers coming and starting to say we cannot be do something with each other because we cannot agree attack something connected with the medical support or something like this. So it's so vibrant. So I think that if people were coming to kind of experience, like, and now there will be unity and we will together decide how to make a revolution. No, this is not what will happen. It's like a program where the DIY abortion workshop and the workshop about happy birth giving going parallel to each other. People are clashing, but maybe it's also okay because there's like finally like really lots of topics to discuss and fight about and things like this, but it's emotionally hard sometimes here, I should say.
I think definitely it's different than 150 years ago when probably some white old man with a big
no, there were a lot of women. There were a lot of women. Yeah, yeah. You just don't write a history about them.
Ah, okay.
You need to make a research. Or maybe somebody else should make research, but I heard that actually it is just this anarchist mythology of like, Kropotkin, Bakunin were there, great, but actually they were not the main heroes here, and it's like the Switzerland community were organizing, and there were also a lot of women involved, but yeah, you like the beardy heroes, maybe.
Yes, I think the only one that was not there, it was the anarcho-capitalist. They was present in this gathering, and that was
a lot.
Yes, a lot, and that was also a really particular thing to me, that they were present and they had presentation. So I don't know.
Yeah, there were some critics before the meeting about this as well, and I think yeah, there definitely be things to discuss. I mean, there's like yeah, I mean, there's also a too broad from my point of view. I mean, for me, there, yeah, there's no space for anarcho-capitalists, or there were also other freaks around them. Yeah. But that's maybe a sign of our times.
Should we make a music break, or you want to add something?
Then we will have short music and some announcements, and then maybe if the other comrades from Russia and Belarus don't show up, then we just have the conversation, more deeper conversation after the part that is transmitted in Leipzig FM at Radio Blau, and people that might be interested in going on listening, they can kind of switch to the link in the internet, to the internet stream. Yeah, we will listen to a track from Amanda Woodward, and here we go. As always, how could it be different here in Soignies? We are running out of time, So we will skip the announced part about the more analysis and developments after the revolt in Chile to the online part of our show. Luckily, we have 2 hours available. Maybe in this part of the show, there will also show up some comrades from Russia and Belarus, but so far they are not here. So to end our show over there in Leipzig, we will have our usual announcement part in the end. Maybe Camila can start.
Yeah, with the Week of Solidarity. It's just like every year since some years there's a Week of Solidarity with anarchist prisoners, which is happening from 23rd to the 30th of August. There's an open call, and you can, I don't know, check. It's in different languages, as I know, and you can plan actions in solidarity with anarchist prisoners. You can make writing letters, watching films, whatsoever. But it is important not to forget about comrades in prison the whole year. But this is like a week which is maybe can consolidate some, I don't know, minds and energies to do some cool events.
So then even some days before, they will take part the traveling no border camp called Pasamontaña there in Val Susa in Italy. And it's like, as you might know, there's like refugees crossing the border in this region from Italy to France since quite a while, and so there will take place a gathering to discuss about these things, reflect and share practices. You can find it will take place from the 4th to the 6th of August, and you can find more information about it if you want to go there at pasamontaña.info, pasamontaña.info.
Yeah, and one very local thing for Leipzig is that there will be a feminist queer militant congress, which has a motto, Strong Together Congress, and it will take place from 28th of September till 1st of October. And you can find more information about it at femcongress23.noblogs.org. femcongress23.noblogs.org.
Yeah, hopefully there will also show up people from maybe also other countries, but also at least the rest of Germany or like surroundings. They are doing a lot of advertisement, at least also here at the gathering. And our last announcement is like the Anarchist Book Fair in Vienna in Austria. It will take place from the 15th to the 17th of September. And what? No, that's it. I mean, we are nearly at the end of our show. There's like 30 seconds to go, at least at the clock.
We have
2 minutes. The clock here in the room is a little bit, there's 2 minutes left, so maybe our guest, yeah.
They say they have the best clock, so I don't know.
In Switzerland.
I don't know which clock it's...
No, the all this international trade and so on, you know, it's all done in China now.
Yeah, they're not building clocks here anymore in this region, I think. Or, I don't know, maybe the really expensive Rolex, but the one here at the wall don't seem
to be like a
really expensive one.
And our next show in Leipzig will be at the 19th of August, just in case. Bad news for Chile. And we hear you further and online.
So we're gonna listen to some music in between the FM and the online part. The track is called Revenge and it's performed by Left in Ruins.
Si me has sentido humilde, todos somos especiales, pero nadie es superior. No es difícil comprender una cosa tan sencilla, renunciar a privilegios, por saber es lo mejor. Ves, es nuestra posición, que somos uno más, que no tiene sentido subirse a un altar. Por honestidad, hay que reconocer que no somos los únicos en querer. Es la libertad, una vida y un vida en libertad.
I don't need to switch anything on.
No, no.
It's on. Yeah, we are back at the table in the exhibition hall of Saint-Imier, the anti-authoritarian international gathering, and we will go on with the second part of today's show.
Yeah, we wanted to have an interesting shift here about like talking with people from different countries who just experienced in the last years uprisings in their countries and what is the future and in the current situation and the future of it. One more person joined our conversation, Masha. Maybe you can shortly introduce yourself.
Hi everyone. I am representing here the Anarchist Bloc Cross Belarus, and I will probably talk about the Belarusian uprising 2020 and what happened next and the repression against anarchists and stuff like that.
Yep. Okay. Paula, you look like you wanna start with something.
Bueno, sí. Ya por último, yo creo que cabe recalcar que pues el presidente Gustavo Petro llega al poder prometiendo la liberación de muchas de las personas de la primera línea en Colombia. Hoy por hoy esa liberación no se ha dado. Hay muchas personas que siguen todavía presas. Han salido, por decirlo, 10 personas. Sin embargo, hay muchas personas que continúan privadas de la libertad aún. Es uno de los puntos que pues aún no ha cumplido.
Yeah, the new president in Colombia. He came to power with the promises to release the prisoners of revolt, especially the prisoners from the first line. Until today, he didn't accomplish these promises, but he's in power. And like there have been released more or less 10 persons so far, and nobody more. And there's much more political prisoners from the revolt. Masumil?
I don't know. When we, anyway, a bit chaotic, maybe you want to say, if we started with the prisoners topic right now, what is the situation in Belarus? Like, how many prisoners of the revolt or uprising are there? You can also specify the anarchist anti-fascist prisoners numbers.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we don't have like official public numbers of their revolutionary prisoners, that we call them, because not so many people are reporting repressions at the moment, because everybody is afraid of, if you're getting public about your repression, you're getting even more repression, or you get, their families will get more repression for even talking to the human rights NGOs. So I think officially right now it's about 2,500 people, but of course it's much more. I would say more like 4,000 to 5,000, and just yesterday I saw the number 980 people have already been released. So it's like they have already served the 2 or 3 year sentences after 2020, and the number that is now in prisons is like still remaining, like they retain the same, it's not dwindling. And also if we speak about the anarchists or anti-fascists, currently we have 33, I think, people behind bars that we know of who identify as anarchists or anti-fascists. And for you to like compare, so this is by far the biggest like political group that is being persecuted as a political group, because all the rest of people are like just normal citizens, let's say, who didn't identify in a political way. And to compare, for example, at the same time, 30 journalists are behind bars. So it's like more or less the same amount of a professional group. Mm-hmm. Sitting behind bars. It's and for you to understand, the anarchist movement has not been such a big force even before 2020. So I would say like 150 people who were like active constantly, and that means that quite a lot of them got repressed.
Okay. I don't know, how is it in Chile with the people who participated in uprising? Maybe you can update us how it's going on with repressions. I know also that there were some Mapuche people repressed. Yeah, maybe you can tell us what is the situation now.
Yes, during the uprising at the first, it was a lot of people caught and being imprisoned. The number said there was more than 3,000 in one moment, like in the first month or 2 months. But then after these 2 years with the pandemic and all the referendum and all that, and the new president election, also they were promised to get liberate the political prisoner from the revolt. And in some point they were liberated. It was a promise that it was hard to accomplish. I don't know, complete. And the particular thing is that the president it says, okay, we are gonna liberate this prisoner, and they get liberated. And from the other conservative party, it was a lot of criticism from who are you liberating? And then the president goes again in public, it says, oh, maybe we should not be this free to this political prisoner. So we can see how this new social democrat government green pink washing is really like some in Chile you have a say, they se pisa la capa, they step by his own cape, because it says something and to the other day they say another things, you know. And so in terms of being really practical, they are all released, the political prisoner from the revolt, because they are also other political prisoners. But that's what I can say about the that status of the political prisoners. They are all released.
Okay.
And you cannot compare like the Mapuche prisoners, or I mean, there were also, I think during the revolt, there were also people from the Mapuche community arrested that maybe took part in the revolt more in south, but it's like, yeah, there's a really, as far as I know, there's like a really, it's a really separate thing, yes. From, I mean, you, yeah.
Yeah, they have, they have separate process for saying in a way, and we also know that in the south of Chile also the Mapuche prisoner also has a different treatment inside the prison, you know, and yes, that's why I say that specifically the revolt prisoner, they were released, but we have to understand that in Chile they are a lot more political prisoner, that it was not in that list, because in one moment it was like a list of political prisoners from the revolt, and that list was the people who was released, you know.
So maybe we go on with I mean, I guess during the revolt there were, for sure, there were several kinds of expectations or hopes connected to these uprisings, and maybe we analyze or reflect a little bit on what happened afterwards. I mean, after the revolt, how things felt for people, or was it like really deillusionizing, or
how do people like maybe take or reflect the revolt itself, how it is for them, like if they analyze the past?
Yes, at the beginning the uprising and the revolt doesn't have any specific demand, because it was a big revolt, everybody was all in the street, and the slogan in the first day was Chile despertó, Chile is awake, because it's part of this to feel really numb and really like sleepy in this system of domination, neoliberal system, that everything is being sold. So at the beginning it was like that, but with this peace agreement, that is the first like political attack to the movement, they offered to do a new constitutive process, because we were being we were using the constitution from the dictatorship. So the political parties try to get the revolt like more try to dismantle the revolt with this offer to do a new constitutive process. And after these 3 years, this has a lot of plot twists, because they start this new constitutive process, but then in a referendum is rejected. So now the new president says, okay, we are going to do a new, the second new constitutive process. But the worst thing is, to say it in a way, and we are going to change a dictatorship constitution for this new constitution that is built for and is leading by the conservative party. So to have a dictatorship constitution, now we are going to have extreme radical right constitution. So yes, I think the big majority feels a little bit frustrating about this, but from our perspective, it's something that we understand that could be really frustrating for the people who was not really political, because in Chile it was a big majority that was not interested in political, and I think that is a big good in society, a good from the dictatorship, that you cannot be political, because that is torture, that is exile, that is murder. So for the 90s to the 2019, a lot of our parents, it was, I don't get involved in political. And the revolt, I think it was a really process that take more speed, and the people start to be more political. But after these 3 years, and see that the first constitution that was built for people who was not of the political party was rejected, and now this new constitution is built for experts, they are from the right-wing party, and the people feel like, okay, I don't want to be again involved in this kind of thing. But from our perspective, the more positive things of the revolt is all the network that start to be like the health brigade, the alimentary net, And that it was something that it was lost from the 90s to the revolt, because people doesn't want to see each other too much, because it was, I don't know, it could be conflictive, you know. The people was living a lot, this individual way to live, this American dream that I can be my for my own. I do my job, I get my money, and I'm gonna be successful and not thinking in the community. And I think that network that was built during the revolt and a few months later with the pandemic, there is the more positive thing that we can take from all this process until now.
And also, it like reminds me a bit the Belarus situation, that there were like many people involved which were not involved before. How do you think? How is it now? Do the people regret or still celebrate and heroicize the uprising which was going on?
Can I first ask you a question about why the constitution wasn't taken? Like, if there were so many people in the street and it felt like everybody votes for it, why didn't? Do you think it was falsified, that the vote mechanism didn't work, or that actually they mobilized more conservative people to go against it?
Yes, to us, like anarchists, we was not like so involved in the process, because we know we think more than that. But even that, it was like a little bit shock, you know, because it was rejected by the 78%. So it was like, what? And we always say that these 3 years that has been, or 4 years from the revolt, it was a little bit like a telenovela, because it has so many plot twists, like every 6 months something is like changing. But we think that the right wing used a lot of the mass media, like with the younger, because in Chile we have a culture from the left that was built in the during the 70s. And so the younger people always was really close to the left, you know. But now we see how the right wing is using mass media to get the young people involved. And now we have really young people thinking to unite to these parties. And to us, that is one of the things that it was important, we think, in this reject the constitution. And also how they use the mass media to this fake news and disinformation about what you can do with the new constitution. So it was this new, I don't know how you say, essay from the constitution, not the...
The draft.
Yeah, and they put it to the public like 1 month before you go to vote, if you want it or no. And it was a lot of lie that this constitution is gonna take your house. If you have two houses, one of them is gonna be to the people who doesn't have house, because it's gonna be like Venezuela, and now you have Chilezuela. And so all that, it was like every day in the papers, every day. And also the right wing start to give free, how you say the word?
And it wasn't draft.
Ensayo? Like this?
Threat?
No?
Free what?
The right wing start to give this new constitution that was written, but it was not the official, and it has part that it was not really there.
Yeah,
like brochures or leaflets, yeah.
Yeah, and start to give it, and a lot of people read it, and they say, I'm not really cool with that. And the third part, it was that it was not expert people. That was the big criticism from the right wing to these people who built this constitution, because it was people who was elected, and it was people from the popular world, you know. It was nobody from a particular political party. It was people that was part of the revolt, like some symbols of people who was really involved. And to that, they say they are not experts. How they are going to build a constitution? And I think these three things, to attack the younger, to say that we are going to become Chilezuela and stuff like that, and to say that they are not experts, so they cannot build something like a legal article, With these three things, it was a lot of confusion. The people start to say, okay, so I'm going to lose my house, my car, and things like that. And when was the voting in the night, I think nobody can really believe what we are seeing in the TV, that 78% of the people reject the constitution.
Wow.
Yes.
Thanks for explaining. Yeah, like coming back to Belarus, I think I read recently an article about political alienation or political like apolitization, because I was interested in this kind of creation of political powerlessness in the people, that you don't believe that you can change anything. And there was a nice phrase that says that politics right now is not about having power, it's about having enough powerless people around. And so it's not about you anymore fighting between like two big figures, fighting against who has more power than wins. It's more like people are feeling so powerless that the one doesn't have even to fight, doesn't have to do anything, that people will just say, okay, fuck it. And I think this is what is going on right now in Belarus. So it's like, we cannot say Lukashenko, the president who stayed in power after this revolt, he is powerful, because no, he doesn't have the power. And this is why exactly he's continuing the repression, because he doesn't feel safe to like just go on to back to normal. But on the other hand, the population feels powerless. It's like they tried something and it didn't work. And you should understand that, I don't know, like it seems similar to what you're saying, the, from Chile, that people were like always abstaining from being part of the politics because of the Soviet and like Gulag times of like being politically involved means that you are going to be punished. And this is what also my mom was saying to me, that you shouldn't like mess up with anyone because you just live your life and stuff. And I think many people lived like that before. And you, for me, like in Belarus, it's like a very like young state, let's say. Some people went to the demonstration for the first time in their lives. So you shouldn't expect that they would be like good and street fighting, urban guerrilla, like everything, they know everything, cool, it like security culture. And like, so they just tried. And I think many were demotivated and demoralized after, like, what came as a response was too much. Like, it stopped being safe after several months, and people were not prepared for that because they thought they can just say, show that there are a lot of people against, and the dictator will like say, okay, good, you know, I see you, I hear you, goodbye, which doesn't happen. And there was like a big kind of peaceful, kind of pacifist, let's say, approach to this whole uprising. Like, no, like we should not attack, we shouldn't make barricades, we should like just be there in the streets, show us the presence of ourselves. And I think the biggest like I see as the biggest advantage of what happened, even though the demoralization is growing, but people stopped believing peaceful protests against the dictatorship. So I think right now there is no discussion, even like when we're talking in the diaspora in Warsaw, there is a lot of Belarusians who ran away. It's not a problem to talk about using violence against the state or against the cops and stuff like that. I think on the other hand, because we like the war started, which actually influenced a lot of the political situation in the region, and many people are seeing right now war, because you should understand that Russia has always been viewed as a gendarme of revolutions in the region. Like, nobody, neither Kazakhstan, Ukraine, Belarus, like Armenia, Georgia, whenever some, like one of these countries, the post-Soviet countries, try to like gain more weight or gain more independence, there would be invasion, there would be like paid coup d'etat or something like this organized by the Russian regime. So for us, we see the fall of the Russian regime in this war as a potential for us to actually like return to the country, and for people to have at least anything. Like we understand it's going to be a liberal state, but it's like better than not being able to survive that at all. And so this is why a lot of people are putting a lot of attention on the Ukrainian support, supporting Ukrainians in fighting the imperialism, let's say, which would later, of course, because Belarusian regime depends on Russia, and it will like fall down as soon as the Russian regime falls down, or at least it will be very, very weakened. So yeah, right now it's more, I would say more that people in Belarus, there's, you wouldn't see like public protests or anything. It's more like either underground small sabotage actions or people trying to put comments online or spread small newspapers for the neighbors or take pictures of Russian military equipment and send it to some independent media to like facilitate to stop the movement or like facilitate the intelligence from the Ukrainian side. And yeah, many people also went to fight in Ukraine from this like protest. There's, let's say, and of course, these are people with different views, from far right to just nationalists to patriots to left wing also, because you should understand that after the war started, Belarusians are not allowed in Ukraine anymore because we are like enemies. So I cannot go and like my passport would be either destroyed or like I cannot go if I don't have a reason. Even I cannot visit my friends. So the only way to like join some battalion is to join it through the official Belarusian battalion, which is the core of it is controlled by the far right, but like the people who are fighting there, let's say hundreds of people, they're not like Nazis. It's just anyone who needs a way to go inside Ukraine. So, and I think that this is what is problematic here is that people still are, even though they are okay right now to with like the armed struggle, let's say, or the violence against the state, they still like to pass this power over to somebody to say, okay, yeah, good, go train, go die at war, and I will be watching and sending you donations instead of like, and these people are not critical about that they are giving them a lot of political power to these battalions without actually reflecting on how, what happens next, because these battalions have started to say, we, the next thing, we liberate Belarus, we're gonna go and like liberate, we're gonna kill Lukashenko, and what comes next, we don't know. Like, these people are not accountable to us, they're not representing anyone apart from themselves, and I think that this is one of the things that we're trying as a group in exile. We're trying to work with the diaspora, like to create this critical approach to supporting violence, or like people who will do violence for you, you know, like that will liberate you instead of actually doing something yourself.
Okay, well, do we have still time to some reflection for from Colombia? If you wanted to go soon, but yeah, I don't know.
¿Queréis compartir algo de Colombia, como os sentes capaz de reportar algo, como se han desarrollado las cosas en particular para el movimiento, no sé, anarquista o antiautoritaria allá en Colombia después de la revuelta?
It's a deep thinking.
Yeah, I mean, they already said that they were not there the last 1.5 years. It's a little bit difficult, maybe, but I think if listeners know, okay, it's a position taken not from directly mm-hmm. from there, but you might still know more than the majority of the listeners, I would say.
Yeah, there's a translation happening.
Sí, como lo mencionamos un poco anteriormente, lo que sucedió es que el movimiento se resquebrajó porque el presidente tomó las banderas, ¿no? de los anteriores movimientos y nuevamente están emergiendo luchas alrededor del territorio. Que están exigiéndole al gobierno esas demandas que él en algún punto prometió, ¿sí? Y hay un problema coyuntural, y es que nosotros tenemos una democracia conservadora, o tenemos un gobierno conservador de hace 200 años, y y han existido muchas trabas para que el gobierno actual pueda realizar esos cambios. Entonces, eso también ha dificultado que se vean mejoras, ¿no? En la vida de los colombianos. Y también hay que resaltar que la participación de la mujer ha sido vital, a pesar de que los movimientos se difuminaron un poco.
Okay, I'll start. Maybe Damian can help me. As they said before in the first part, it was like the actual government took over all the demands or the majority of the demands from the self-organized movement, and they said, "Hey, we will solve all these problems you are complaining."
So it started a little bit to fall down the movement, but after a few, how much is in the power
now? ¿Cuánto tiempo lleva en el poder?
And after a year that he's president, they are starting again little movement in different territory from Colombia, step by step also, because it was a whole year that the people or one part of the movement start to believe in the new president, but now they are starting again to build this social movement. And also they say that
the government is fighting against it.
Yes. Yes, and also they rescue a lot the protagonists of women in Colombia to be part of this movement and how they are nourish the movement.
Pues no sé, algo que sí me gustaría resaltar es, por ejemplo, hoy por hoy las mujeres se están reuniendo a practicar artes marciales mixtas. Y eso me parece pues muy muy bacano porque sí, efectivamente la situación de la mujer en Colombia no es sencilla y que se estén prestando esos espacios y que todas, bueno, las que deciden participar lo hagan porque en serio quieren luchar, es algo que en serio que choca muy de manera, o mejor dicho, que impacta de manera positiva al movimiento también en Colombia.
So something that Paola wants to say and take point of that is that women in Colombia, they are now organizing and practice martial arts, and that is an expression that how hard is the situation in Colombia for the woman. And so it's something that it's not shocking, but it's really it has a really good reaction about how from this movement, this self-organized movement, they are also expression that it keeps until today.
Yeah, it seems to be something really empowering, as I understood, for a lot of women there, over there, this kind of self-organization.
Do we make a musical break now? And let you go, if you wanted to go?
Yeah, thank you for the invite. It was really nice talk.
Sí, muchas gracias por permitir expresar algo de lo que sucede acá. Y bueno, que esta lucha sea internacional, que todos podamos reconocernos en este espacio. Y queremos también enviar un saludo a Colombia a un evento que se llama La Gratiferia. Y que también conmemora, estamos celebrando también desde Colombia, el Anarchy 2023.
Thank you very much. Danke schön.
The comrades want to thank also the invitation and want to send a salute to Colombia, to the Gratiferia. There is an event that also is celebrating the Anarchy 2023 in Colombia. And they rescue a lot of the good has this struggle all together in an internationalist way.
Muchas gracias a vosotros.
Gracias.
You announce the music.
The song I would like to dedicate
I
to everybody who's a member of the
already going.
What's up?
D-Dog. Drowning Dog.
Coming through, check, check.
Class conscious hip-hop.
It's a class war, it goes on every day. People getting paid in a crazy way. Decisions for our life, I said we got no say. No life control on the ways of today. It's a class war, it goes on every day. Monetary, mental, physical decay.
Uh-huh.
Monetary, mental, physical decay.
Yeah.
Monetary, mental, physical decay.
Uh-huh.
Monetary, mental, physical decay. It's a class war.
This is about
community.
This is about
freedom.
Now. This is about
power. And who has power and who doesn't?
This is about
class war.
Class war.
Class war.
I'm always forced to do things that I don't want to do. You know, shit job for your whole life.
It's a class war on the working poor. It's a class war on the working poor. No more can we ignore who we working for. Who we fighting for. Who we dying for. We all know the scores for the uppers to have more. Said you heard it before.
It's like my grandma used to say.
Said the rich get rich and the poor get poor. Jump up and grab a mic and see you gotta get yours. Life ain't shit, you gotta work for yours. You gotta hustle from the bottom just to feed the poor. It's a class war war. It's a class war war.
Class war, class war, class war.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck yeah. Class conscious. Class conscious. Class conscious. Class conscious. Class conscious. Hip hop.
It's a rich man's game, no matter what we call it. And we spend our lives putting money in his wallet. It's a rich man's game, no matter what we call it. And we spend our lives putting money in his wallet. It's a rich man's game.
Capitalist scum fuck.
It's a rich man's game.
It's about power.
Who has power and who doesn't?
It's a class war.
Say it
loud. It's a class war.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a class war. It goes on every day. People getting paid in a crazy way. It's a class war.
Can you hear me now?
Said it's a class war.
Yeah.
It's a class war. It goes on every day. Decisions for our life. I say we got no say. No life control on the way. Today it's a class war.
Class war.
Class war.
Class war.
Class war.
Class war.
What's class got to do with it?
It's about power. It's about power. Who has power and who doesn't?
Monetary, mental, physical decay. Monetary, mental, physical decay. Monetary, mental, physical decay. Monetary, mental, physical decay.
I'm a class conscious.
Mala Vista.
Class conscious hip hop.
The state.
The government.
Feeling like you're used in these states of abuse. No need to be confused, cause we coming through. Feeling like you're used in these states of abuse. No need to be confused, cause we coming through.
Mala Vista.
A bang-a-lang-a-lang-a right here. EK crew bringing your class war. Mala Vista on production.
You know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Class war.
Okay, back on track. And we will continue only with the topic of Belarus. Maybe, like, after listening all of this, could you say if anything going on in the world, like any revolts and uprising were also inspiring uprising going in Belarus? Like, whether, like, you would say any... it's a bit sounds stupid, maybe influence of somewhere.
I think, like, okay, on me for sure, but I don't think I can speak for like half a million people that were in the squares in August 2020. I think actually people were actually struggling to find anything that looked like them. They thought they were so unique, like Belarusians are so unique, which is not true. And people couldn't see the parallels because they just didn't care. Like, nobody cares what happened in Syria. Nobody cares what happened in Iran. You know, like, in Belarus, people just don't care, mostly. And this is why, for me, for example, it was important to actually try to spread the idea or the... analysis of the Arab Spring, like, because that was the anti-dictatorship movements and how it went and how it, like, what went, what came after. In some of the countries it didn't work well, like in many countries it didn't go well. So, and in none of these countries it was like a peaceful demonstration that was like dismantling the whole dictatorship. But I think for me, what I now see as a reference point, let's say, is the Iranian uprising, because I was listening to another podcast from like of the comrades from Iran, where they explained how this uprising is a direct consequence of all the previous ones. So it's like every 10 years, let's say, something happens in Iran. And even though, like, it feels, when I listen to it, it feels like even more repressive than in Belarus. I don't know what could be even more repressive, but it's still there. And I just realized that, yeah, like, sometimes the people need time to kind of try, like, by trial and error, educate themselves in terms of how politics works or how protests works, how uprising work or not work. And it was interesting that, for example, this comrade in the podcast was saying that only the fifth time right now, people immediately, instead of like asking the politicians to change something or being peaceful in the street or asking for a vote, asking for a referendum, trying to like not touch the cops, they said immediately no. Like, if you're violent to us, if you kill us, we kill you, you know? And for me, that was like, okay, so it needs fucking 20 years sometimes for people in the human, like, memory to create this understanding on how we can approach the dictatorship, let's say. So my idea is that maybe in 10 years we're going to have, like, another one in Belarus, and there will be already this collective memory having, like, we will have at least something. Because right now what happened, it was like, a toddler trying to make the first steps in politics, in like uprisings in politics, in protests. So for me, it was not a surprise that the Lukashenko didn't go away. Like, I knew that it will stay. So for me, I was not so disillusioned. Like, I was not wasted. I knew it's gonna continue. And yeah, so at the same time, it's hard to like see also the Iranian uprising, even using the new tactic, still like failing in some ways, you know. And it's like just very, very demotivating to see how states are so fucking curious and how they can find ways always to go around this or that form of discontent. And it's interesting what the people from like Colombia and Chile were saying right now, that even though they pretended to accept the demands there, like, they took just several years pretending that we are preparing for you a better life or a more liberal state or a more liberal constitution. They used these years to like actually do the counteroffensive. And like and we see the results is almost the same, you know, like you see people still politically alienated, don't believe in them themselves, you know. So it's the states are very, very they know how to repress us and how to work with us. So I think what's important for me is actually to learn from the other side, like how we as people can, you know, like react on different, like what we should expect, that we shouldn't expect that, okay, we won and we just are celebrating. No, it means that it's a fucking next stage of all of this series, like comrade from Chile said.
I think one thing that, and now the comrades from Chile left, but one thing they, for them afterwards, I mean, you cannot compare it with the situation in Belarus for sure. I mean, they can move like way more easy there, and but for them it was like that. Now they have kind of picture, and it was like really surprising, the situation for them, that this uprising happened. And there, I mean, from the, at least from the, there's different ideas about it, but from the Asamblea Anarquista de Valparaíso, they like took like the consequence is now they really try to build from the scratch, or like really long term, and maybe that's a little bit compares with the things you are saying, because like they had the feeling, okay, they were not prepared for it at all, and there was nothing they could like share with the people, or it was like they felt really connected and had the experience that they were like organizing with their neighbors and so on. It was something really empowered in some moment, but then there was just nothing like apart before like to revolt, but they could not take over whatever. I mean, all the alimentation of the people or the electricity or whatever, like and their ideas were not really present in the whole process.
I mean, I can confirm the same from the Belarusian movement, that we also felt like that we cannot catch up with the people. Like, they know better, they react faster, they know where to go without us telling them, or like so. And it was weird that we didn't know how to react to fast developing situations, where usually you come and meet once a week, you talk for half an hour, for 3 hours, make a consensus, and then, you know. So it's actually our ways of organizing impeded us from like developing together with the people, because we were not flexible at all at this moment. We were not like open to take fast decisions, try things, instead of like being afraid, okay, should we or should we not. And yeah, but I mean, for me, I also wouldn't say that everything is we will see everything 10 years after. You know, and I think that we shouldn't say that, okay, like anarchists in Chile didn't like achieve anything, because we don't know, you know, like just like them or us have been influenced or inspired by crowds. The crowds next to us, maybe like 300 people, maybe 1,000 people, somebody who saw us, somebody who read our text, somebody who like was told about us or saw our banner or our slogan or something. They were influenced by us, you know. And I think this is also how this, because also previously you asked like what inspired or preceded the people's uprising in Belarus. I think even though in Belarus there was never like a big, I don't know, street fights, just because all over the world we see the pictures how people are struggling, that when people are protesting, they do this, like they burn things or like they are breaking things, they are smashing cops. So this was already like in people's memory. They didn't need to like think about what they could do. It came kind of naturally. And I think this is what we're talking about. So this education, or let's say like practical education, is happening on the way. And I think we are not able to actually analyze it at this moment. So I'm not like really optimistic about everything, but I'm also like, I don't like when we like cancel all of our victories, let's say, and that we feel so miserable and like not being able to achieve anything, because this is like not productive at all, like to think about ourselves. Like, it's good to widen our power, you know, like to think about other ways to be more efficient, but it's not productive to like cancel and say, ah, no, like we were acting just like everybody else. Yeah, it's good. Finally, we were the people and not like sectarians, let's say, you know?
Yeah, I think that's really kind of the conclusion they have, and that's why they think, okay, now we have like, yeah, we really have to organize with the people, like leave the bubble, and we have to like work on the long term. And I think they don't feel like a loss, because it was not there. They don't have the illusion that they sparked anything, or it was their revolt or something.
And also, it's often that people say like, yeah, maybe in this region, blah blah, this and that cannot happen. But if you see Ukraine and Maidan, it is a big example for Belarus, Russia, and I don't know, post-Soviet spaces. And it's a maybe from anarchist perspective, a strange win and so on, but at the same time, like, it showed, yeah, it's possible to change, to revolt, to change the government, and I don't know how to explain, but it's a big example, and that it's possible to kind of also go, I mean, not really easy to go away from all this Putin's control, and that he's still trying to go in, but yeah, that the people kind of get this feeling of we can take the power back and decide ourselves.
What do you think? Should we have another short music and then...
Yeah, I would also really like to, like we talked about it before in the first hour, maybe to catch your impressions from Saint-Imier. Critic is okay.
yeah, I know. Well, let me remember all the days. So I think when I was coming here, like it's my first time, and some people were there, like some people I knew, I know that they were there 10 or 11 years ago. So they told me some scary stories about conflicts here, or like meat eaters against vegans 10 years ago, or like t-shirt discussion, no t-shirt discussion going big in the... So for me, I understood that with such a number of people gathering together without actually being able to form a community, like fast, it's everything is going to be exaggerated. So if it's going to be self-organizing, it's going to be like just on a massive scale exaggerated. And we could see that, like kitchen serving thousands of people. Like I've never seen anything like that in a self-organized way, right? So, and this is, or like, I don't know, radios working, TV working.
There is a TV?
I mean, like like the streams are working. All the, I don't know, languages are being translated and stuff like this. So everything, like all the resources that we all the, and all the infrastructure that we had in the movement came here like to reinforce each other, and it's really nice. But also I expected that also like small divisions that usually are small when you're the three of you are talking will be exaggerated and intensified on, because it's just a big level, you know, and just also because people don't see each other necessarily as like immediate comrades, because they have, I see you for the first time, like why would I like believe you, or I don't know who, what's behind you, what's your background, what's your baggage of activism and stuff. So I was expecting that, and I think here I would say more that I was expecting more horror than actually happened. I mean, what happened today in our talk was a big deal, like people trying to disrupt our presentation. But I think on the other hand, I just saw that it's not like I didn't feel vulnerable and I didn't feel endangered. Maybe also because I saw many people acting in solidarity with us and like supporting, and I felt that support. So, yeah, for me, I am impressed. Let's say it's the first time I'm on this on an event like that. But also I see that how much the Orga team is struggling, and the constant lack of volunteers announced all the time. And clearly, yeah, there is like more consumption of this event than co-organizing, it looks like. But also I understand why. Because so many interesting things are happening in the fucking same time, and you don't want to be in a fucking shift washing closets if you can go to a theater play, or like, you know, so.
And things at the same time.
Yeah, so I mean, I think many things work here. Okay, thanks to organizers, but also thanks to our kind of habit of being okay if things go bad, you know, like okay, mixed showers, whatever, you know, like a bad place surface for the tents, okay, you know, like, so like I wouldn't imagine like bourgeois people being happy with what we see, you know, but at the same time for us it's kind of okay to do it in this DIY kind of way, and not like expect that somebody is coming and fixing it for you. So I think yeah, there is this combination of like organizing but also not expecting a lot that make this whole thing happen, I think, and work.
So yeah, I would say like for me it was also very much empowering, like even if I knew that there will be fights and expected the horror, but then you could really see at this fight like who is what, and you don't feel yourself alone in many positions anyway. Yeah.
I had no fights luckily.
It's the peaceful radio here. Non-violence.
Yeah, I don't know. I also had the impression there were several things or workshops going on, and people were really focused on being destructive or just like blaming others who don't do the right thing and so on. And I don't really support this behavior, even if I know that sometimes you have to like to fight or to discuss hard and exchange these positions or whatever. But I had the impression that it was like really something I visited. I had the impression that there was like only blaming others to be the bad ones and nothing, and that's it, to also get gain kind of power out of it, because they felt powerless in other situations. And it's somehow understandable, but even though it was like I felt really bad after listening to it. But I bet it was not a bit about the topic of war you were talking about, I suppose, but other things.
Yeah, I think there's like clashes in any kind of topics, if it's enough queer or not, if it's the anti-racist discussion, the I don't know, esoteric, less esoteric, I don't know, COVID repressions or not repressions and things like that. Like, it's like they're like fighting.
Anarcho-capitalist.
Yeah, anarcho-capitalist. or exchange, you know, this a lot of things. But at the same time, like, when you say, people were saying for 11 years ago, there were discussions about like if you wear a t-shirt or not, or if you eat meat or not. And now it's like all vegan with a lot of allergies. And I know it's like, I think there is a level up, and it's not that we could come to an anarchist meeting and it's a harmonical one, especially if you do like a meeting, it's not pre-sorted, and I know everybody can come from whatever regions, and we have lots of different perspectives, and it's just not so easy. So it's maybe, I mean, from this fights would also come something that then next time some things are not a discussion anymore, maybe. But maybe it's also okay to continue discussing eating meat or not.
Yeah, okay, listening to this. I mean, this without t-shirt thing is still going on.
Yeah, I have a gaffer with me. I can cover the nipples.
I mean, listening to the things you said, I would say, okay, yeah, I mean, if you set this in place, then it's probably not, there could have been much bigger fights as well.
I saw no blood.
Not yet.
Okay, I will leave soon. I don't want to see it.
I don't know if there are any last words which you definitely wanted to say and we didn't ask, or I don't know, any support needed, then yeah, whatever.
I think I'm okay. I talked too much, but if people feel like, I don't know, supporting Belarusian prisoners, they can always get on our website, which is abc-belarus.org, and there you can see the stories of people, you can see the ways to donate money, and also you can download different information on that you could also spread in your circles, which is important for us, because actually we cannot get donations now from Belarus anymore, because all the solidarity is criminalized, and people can be accused of financing an extremist organization. So we're like really heavily relying on people from who live west, to the west of the Belarusian border. So thanks for listening, and it was interesting to talk and exchange.
Thank you for taking your time.
Yeah, thank you very much for sharing your opinions and your perspective with us.
Yeah, next show will come.
Yay.
Not from Somier, probably. And now we will listen to another track from Accidente, and the name is Vendiste tu yo al poder. You sold yourself to the power.
Ciao. We'll be right back.
Buenas, no sé si habéis esperado de escuchar las